Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Every now and then you meet someone who you just click with. And I've been finding, I go into various online forums, various chat groups, whatever, and there's always this one person there who's hanging around the same place as I hang around with, sharing the same sort of views that I hold true. And what I discovered is Dr. Anissa Holmes, who's coming all the way from the Caribbean in Jamaica, shares very similar views to mine when it comes to practice growth and how to really accelerate that, and equally where the opportunities lie for the modern dental practice today. So in our conversation, Anissa shares tons of wisdom. She's a really generous person, full of energy, full of beans. And in our interview, she shares lots of value bombs everywhere. And so I'd really encourage you, as always, to be taking notes. And if you need to, hit pause, rewind, go back, re-listen, whatever it is, because the material that Anissa shares on our episodes is absolute gold. And I know you're going to want to take action on everything that she shares with us. Anissa is really well known in America for helping practices grow. And so certainly what we found as we spoke even further is that there's so much similarity between what's happening in the United States as well as what's happening here on the Southern Hemisphere. So without any further ado, I'd love to introduce you to Dr. Anissa Holmes. Dr. Anissa Holmes, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. Coming all the way from Jamaica, how's things over there in the lovely Caribbean?
Boy, things are really quite nice today. It's a lovely day, beautiful outside. I'm not sure. Maybe the weather's similar there. I'm not sure.
Well, it probably is similar here at the moment because we're in summer. And as an Australian, we all tend to gravitate to summer. It's just a nice time of year. So we're probably enjoying a similar climate, enjoying similar things. And there's lots of similar things in our lives as well because we're both dentists. We're both in that teaching, coaching space. And I'm really excited to have a talk to you today because your journey has been one that I've had the pleasure of observing from the other side of the world. And I'm really curious to tap into that and to find out a little bit more about the backstory.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so excited to be here.
Cool. Well, you've been in dentist for 16 years or so now, or maybe even a bit more. But over that period of time, I've been in dentistry a little bit longer than you, but which means I have more gray hair than you. But what I wanted to ask you about is over that period of time, Anissa, can you tell us a little bit about your journey? How did you get into dentistry? What was that journey like for you? And what led to you moving to the Caribbean?
Right, absolutely. Like you said, I am a dentist. I actually am from New Orleans, and I attended the University of Alabama School of Dentistry. And my husband is actually from Jamaica. His mother is Jamaican. His dad is actually from Northern Ireland. But he grew up in Jamaica, and he's an oral surgeon, and he said when we first met that he wanted to make sure that he can make the biggest difference. And he actually wanted to move back home to Jamaica to be able to help his own people. And I thought that was really quite remarkable. I actually had a dental practice that I still sold in Alabama. And we've been here for about 12 years now. And it's been really quite amazing because we have an opportunity, just, you know, it's very similar to Australia. It's a very laid back society, and you have the ability to really have that balanced life. So it's been really quite remarkable, quite amazing. And I'm still close enough to the US, so I still have access to all of the first world living that I know you experience every day in Australia. But it's been really amazing. You know, you asked, you know, how did I get into dentistry? It's very interesting because I really always wanted to be in a profession where I could help people. And from being a very small child, I actually thought I was going to be a physician, a doctor. And it was later on when I was in college that I did a summer program at the University of Alabama. And I spent the summer and I did an internship in the pediatric dental department there. And from there, you know, there was a mentor that said, you know, you should be a dentist because you have the ability to help so many people, but you also have the ability to have freedom and have a balanced life. And that really appealed to me. And so I've been a dentist for a while now, and it's been really amazing. We've been able to impact so many people's lives. And like you said, now I'm in a position where I'm actually working a few days a week and pursuing another passion, which is really helping dentists to be able to get more freedom and to be able to have an enriched life and a profitable practice as well.
So that's a really interesting segue, because there's so many little threads in that conversation there that I just would like to explore a little bit, because obviously you had your first practice in Alabama. Was that the sort of practice that you'd be wanting to build now, or has your idea of practice success morphed over those years? I'm just curious to understand what success means to you, and has it always been smooth sailing ride, or have there been a few little hurdles and obstacles to overcome on that journey as well?
Right. So, you know, it's very interesting that you asked that question. And I can tell you that when you're growing any business, right, when you're getting from where you are to where you want to go, there's always going to be bumps. There's always going to be challenges. And, you know, coming out of dental school, you don't understand business and you're just trying to wing it. You're trying to figure it out. One thing that is very common, though, from my very first practice to now, is that I always wanted to be able to make a huge impact. I wanted to be able to help people, and I wanted to be very different. And so even in my book is Delivering Wow, How Dentists Can Build a Fascinating Brand and Achieve More While Working Less. That's my book. I talk about my journey and my practice in Alabama, and I talk about the fact that I wanted to be different. I wanted to be unique, and I wanted to create amazing experiences, because I know that when you treat people very well and you create a very different experience for them, you're able to market to the fearful. And when that happens, there will never be enough time to see all of the patients that need to have treatment and care. And so that's always been my philosophy. My practice has definitely morphed over the years as I've grown, as we've achieved different milestones, you know, getting to the next level where I am now, which is really exciting, is that we are looking at how can we make a bigger impact? How can we do more services that we were not doing before? So I'm actually in a position right now where we have just invested in, which is really crazy, an iTero and a Trio scanner. We're about to start having actually a lab in-house where we're going to be doing 3D printing of trays. We're going to be doing all sorts of really cool and innovative things. And so right now it's like, how can we take dentistry to the next level to wow patients even more, you know, in terms of saving them time, providing more services, which at least in Jamaica, there's really no one who's doing the sort of things that we're doing. I think we're the only people in the island that has the ability to be able to actually do 3D printing in the office and have an iTero. And so it's always thinking about how can we get to that next level of making a bigger impact and really doing something very different and unique. And I can tell you, it has not always been easy. Like, moving to Jamaica was really, really difficult, because let's face it, if you're in Australia, or if you're in the US, or if you're in, you know, UK, you have the ability to be able to have access to financing. And, you know, so a lot of times that you can have a dream practice if you don't have the income to do so, and you have ways to do things. And so my practice in Birmingham was amazing. And when I moved here, I had to humble myself, because there was no access, and I had to be really resourceful. I had to build my practice on credit cards just to be able to have a practice. But, you know, I had a vision, and we were able to work through those things. You know, I actually hired a business coach. I started to look into very inexpensive ways to market my practice, which is where the whole Facebook marketing came about. And we figured it out. And now I have a super, super profitable practice, which doesn't even make sense how profitable that we are. I have freedom. I can travel the world. I'm debt-free. And it's been a really amazing and interesting journey and process. And the point of that story is that no matter where you are in practice, once you have a vision, once you have a goal, once you have a dream, you can accomplish it. You just need to surround yourself with the right people, the right mentors, learn from them, listen to them, and just be committed to achieving your goals.
Yeah, look, and again, I really like the idea of resourcefulness as well. You said when you got to Jamaica that you didn't have access to credit. You had to, I suppose, almost bootstrap your business, really.
Yep.
There was an element of let's really kind of roll our sleeves up and go back to really what an entrepreneur does, and that is almost to create something from nothing. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about that journey, because in those early days of first moving to Jamaica, when, as you say, you had to humble yourself and go back to that, what were the things that you were doing on a day-to-day basis to really move that forward? What was it? Was it just continuing to deliver exceptional experiences to patients, obviously investing in learning about Facebook marketing? But on a day-to-day basis, what did those early days look like for you? Because I'm very, I suppose, cognizant of the fact that you have family commitments and whatnot as well. How did you juggle all those things?
For me, it was really all about deciding very early on what that practice would look like having a picture in my mind. And when I moved here, one thing that I told my husband was, you know what, I will move, but there's one thing that I want to make sure that I do. And what that is I want to make sure that I'm always delivering the best care. I want to leave a legacy. I want to make a huge impact, and I want to be known for something. And so even though I didn't know the culture, even though no one knew who I wasn't in the in group at the time, I had a vision, I had a dream. And how did I do that? I just really focused on building relationships and really defining what story my practice was going to tell. And for me, it was really defining my vision. And my vision, and I can tell you, it's changed and evolved. But at the beginning, it was to be the number one practice in the entire country known for delivering an amazing wow experience. That was it, you know, and that's where this whole delivering wow has come about. And so I had to say, okay, well, how will I get there? How will people say wow every time they leave? Like, what does the patient experience have to look like? What story are we telling in our marketing, right? And for us, it was all about being able to see patients on time, being able to provide natural and beautiful looking dentistry, give people peace of mind. And it was all about that experience. And so from early on, we were serving the coffee and the tea, and we started to look at putting in tours for our patients and the hot towel warmers and really making sure that we were writing the story that people would say about our practice. And so the goal was that every patient would leave as a raving fan. And so it was like, okay, well, how do we do that? How do we get people to do that? And it meant that we had to build an amazing team, because it was not just going to be me that was going to be doing that. So focusing on hiring the right team, putting in systems so that there was consistency, right? So we focused a lot on in the early days on building systems, on making sure that if we had a new hire, that we could give them a manual that had images and checklist, and making sure that they understand what our culture was all about. So we really had a lot to do with that. And, you know, it's very interesting. Social media was a huge part of it, and really just sharing everything that we're doing behind the scenes, sharing patient testimonials on social media. Social media was huge, but it was really all about just getting the word out. What was our brand going to be about? And I'm so proud today, because right now we have a lot of new patients. We have a ton of patients. And even though we do still use Facebook marketing in our practice, the majority of our patients actually come from existing patients, and everybody knows who we are in the community now. And it's really quite amazing when you become the person that people start talking about right off of their tongue when they're at social events and at work. And we've done it. We've built it. And it happened pretty quickly. And it was all about us really taking the time to really clearly define that vision and just make sure that everyone that we, again, new patients come in and we're saying, you know, we're so happy you're here. Let's tell you a little bit about our practice and why it's a little different.
Yeah. And the thing around that as well that I really enjoy hearing is, because social media is obviously wonderful and it's a huge part of the modern marketing processes for any business, and dentistry is no exception. But what I really enjoyed hearing about that, there's a couple of things. Is one is there's an authenticity there. It's not just social media for the sake of being on social media.
It goes a long way. Yeah, it goes a long way.
Yeah. And so what I really enjoyed was the behind the scenes, what's happening at the practice, what's going on there. And what you've articulated is something I feel really strongly about as well. And that is that your patients are going to leave with a story about your practice anyway. You might as well take the time to choreograph that story and give them the story that you want them to leave with by putting effort into that patient experience, understanding those touch points, considering how you want your patients to think, feel, what you want them to understand at any of those interactions about your practice. And you've crafted that very elegantly. So I think that's obviously made a huge impact on your ability to be well known in your marketplace. But I wanted to just step back a little bit because I read in your practice that at some point, you know, obviously things are going very well. It's financially making a lot of money for you. But busy, people get busy in their business. And one of the things I find with dentists is that oftentimes they can be quite profitable, but time becomes a scarce resource. And after a period of time when they're making money, the other currency that really matters is time. So I'm curious to understand your processes, which I suspect is similar to mine, for creating some leverage and creating some time in your practice.
It's very interesting because those early days, the first thing was, you know, how are we going to impact the community? But the other thing that I thought about was, how am I going to be able to have the ability to have a practice that I could go to because I wanted to and not because I had to? How can I get to financial freedom? And for me, I think that life is really all about living, being able to have freedom, to be able to travel, to be able to spend time with your kids, to be able to spend time with your spouse and do, you know, all of the things that you love to do. And so for me, very early on, my goal was to be able to create that practice. And I didn't have it at first, but I said, you know what, in 3 years' time, I want to be able to have, and I mapped it out for me. And I said, I'm going to have 2 associates and I'm going to have however many hygienists that are going to be there, you know, at least two hygienists, 2.5 hygienists. And I want to be able to focus on doing the procedures that I love to do. And so that's kind of where I am now. You know, I work 1.5, 2 days a week, and I'm doing implant restorations. I'm doing cosmetic dentistry. And it's because that's what I love to do. I love to solve complex problems. And so we've built that. And, you know, I have the ability now, I can go to work or not go to work, and I'm earning. And so, you know, it's definitely a process, but it's like, how did you get there? How did we get there? And that's what people really want to know, not the fact that I have this, but like, how did you get there? And it was like first being very clear about what I wanted and then reverse engineering. That is something that I'm really a huge proponent of, that you can have whatever you want. You just need to reverse engineer how. And so what I did was I hired a coach, a business coach. And, you know, it's something that since I've hired that coach, I've continued to hire coaches and mentors and people that have the knowledge who are already experiencing success. And I just learn from them, and it just cuts a lot of time. So you talk about time. I don't like to wing things. I just want to know how to do it quickly. And that way I can just get the result. And so we started to do that. I started to systematize the practice. I started to understand my numbers and metrics and how to grow and scale a business. And like one thing that I talk about a lot is the whiteboard strategy. And you know how that works is we have whiteboards. All of the practices that we work with, they have whiteboards, and we actually have them to track daily all of the different services that they're providing. And that way you can really set some goals, and it is tied to financial metrics, but the team sees it as, oh my gosh, yes, we can do like 10 more sealants in this month, or we can do 5 more crowns. And it's not about like, it's not about having a patient do something they're not supposed to do. It's about saying, you know what, when you're tired, saying, you know what, yes, I will go ahead and start today. Or if you're realizing mid-month that you're not meeting your goal, then you can actually do a Facebook ad, or you can send an email out to your patients, an educational email with a call to action for them to come in, or you're sending out a targeted email of patients who have not come in for their treatment. You're actually making different business decisions so that you can still accomplish your goals. And so that was really early on. Also, again, looking at marketing, how do we get to 3 doctors? Well, that means that we have to have new patients. And so that's where the whole marketing came in, the Facebook marketing. And at first I was like, how can we get 10 new patients from Facebook? And then we figured that out. I'm like, all right, how can we get 20? How can we get 30? How can we get 40? And now we're getting like 50 new patients a month from Facebook. But it was always like, I need to do that because I want to get to freedom. I want to have a new patient to be able to service 3 doctors. I knew I couldn't do it immediately, But I had to just keep taking steps to get into that direction. And that's really how we were able to achieve it.
Yeah. So again, in that particular process, what's really resonating for me is really knowing where you are in space and in time in terms of your goals, where you want to be at any given moment. Because if you don't know those metrics, really, you're flying blind. And without those metrics, it's hard to know if you're on track, off track. And there's that wonderful saying of Warren Buffett's, if you can't read the scoreboard, you can't tell the score, and then you can't tell the winners from the losers. And ultimately, having some good metrics in place, being able to understand those particular numbers that make a difference in your practice, is a fundamental driver, I think, for practice success. And I like the idea of doing it on a whiteboard. We use a little one-page dashboard to actually run our practice. It's a very similar concept to what you're talking about. But I wanted to just also ask you about some of the missteps along the way, because I think sometimes we learn a lot from our successes, but we learn even more from some of the little boo-boos, the mistakes in that journey as well. So I'm curious to ask you, on your journey, what has been the biggest mistake you've made from a business perspective as you've gone to build your practice?
Yeah, you know what? It's really interesting. And one mistake or one thing that I've learned is that you cannot do everything, right? And a lot of times as dentists, we feel like we have to do the marketing, and we have to see patients, and we have to follow up with patients, and we have to do all of these little things. And there are a lot of little things, right, to grow a practice. And, you know, my mistake was early on just trying to do everything myself and really just not seeking out help. And I think a lot of times as dentists, I can tell you it's definitely was my personality. It is my personality, but I've overcome it, is being embarrassed or afraid to admit that I didn't know something. Like, I would want to, you know, make people believe that I've got this. I understand. I have all of the answers. And it was when I started to say, you know what, you know, you don't know things, like, just find people who know how to do it and say, listen, I don't understand. Can you show me what to do? And like, for me, it was just my personality. Like, that was really, really hard for me. And when I started to, again, seek out mentors and say, hey, wait, I really don't understand. Can you explain that to me one more time? It kind of changed everything for me. And I see that. I know you see that too, Jesse, with working with dentists, is that a lot of times there's like layers that you have to go through to get to people when they're really just telling you their struggles or their challenges, right? And so for me, again, it was getting to the point where I can be very vulnerable and peel off those layers. And whatever it was that I'm trying to accomplish, again, just not trying to necessarily figure it out myself, but just getting help from people, that's been huge. That's what's changed the trajectory and path of my practice. That's allowed me to be able to have that success that I have now.
Yeah. And again, one of the things that I think you've spoken about there is the importance of, I suppose, being vulnerable and not feeling like you have to have all the answers. And certainly I remember at university, I remember feeling that it was a very binary kind of system, that it was either a pass or a fail. You either did it perfectly or it was complete fail. And of course, life's not binary. Life's full of shades of grey. And so sometimes I see that the doctors that I work with, and even myself, I tend to be the harshest judge of my own performance. And so I see that a lot of guys and girls in practice kind of feel like, as you say, they should have everything all together. They feel like that if they don't have it all together, then it's a fail. It's not even a journey, it's a fail. And so there's this whole emotional roller coaster of going into your own practice. There's obviously the technical skills and clinical things you need to do, but because no one teaches you this stuff at university, you somehow expect to pick it up by osmosis, but it's just not like that. So you and I have both had the opportunity to work with some incredible mentors and whatnot as well. But as you've gone through your journey of working with other dentists, taking what you've learned and then helping others accomplish similar results to yourself, where do you see other dentists perhaps coming unstuck? Is it in a similar way that you did, or do you think that there's some other trends or observations that you'd make in that space?
Yeah, I think when people start to change their mindset and realize that they can achieve whatever they want to achieve, things start to really change for them. And I think that that is really the key. So, for example, I'll just give an example of a dentist that I work with, and she's actually in Canada. And she was telling me, you know, I reached out to this company for marketing, and they said that they couldn't work with me because my demographics, it was not ideal for them. And she made a decision, it was so interesting, to actually get resources and to hire someone on Upwork to do what this other person said that they could not do. And, you know, I thought, wow, you know, this is really amazing. And so even though someone told her no, she was determined and is determined to make it work. And I think that that is the mindset that we have to have. So when you say, well, oh gosh, and I hear this, I know you hear this, Jesse, like, oh, my team. Oh, and you know, this team member didn't do this. Oh, you know, this team member told me this. And also that mindset as well is that, you know what? This is your business. This is your vision. This is your dream. And whatever you envision for your practice, you can achieve it. You just need to make sure that you have people that are just as excited about you. And you know that you can, you believe you can have that amazing team versus saying, well, oh, wow, there's no one out there, or making a lot of self-doubt. Like, I think that's what kills people's dreams, that self-doubt. But just believing that you can, you may not have all of the answers, but knowing that someone has the answer and finding that person and having them show you the way, or again, developing a process or a system and not taking no for an answer.
And just to add to that as well, I think, you know, one of the things that I've learned in that journey as well, and certainly some of the clients I've spoken to, is you spoke about finding people who can guide you on that path and having clarity of vision, which we spoke about a bit earlier. But sometimes the how seems to stop people in their tracks, and that how can be a bit of a source of self-doubt because they can't see every single step from point A to point B. But sometimes you don't need to see every single step. The steps reveal themselves as you take one step forward, the next step becomes obvious. And so I think for some people, there is a tendency to not take a step until they can see every step. And is that something that you see as well?
Yeah, it's so true. And I can tell you, maybe it's just my, maybe it's my personality or whatever, but I just say I'm going to do something, and then I tend to know I'm going to figure it out, right? And so, I mean, it's like me saying, and I remember being on Mark Costas's podcast. I was like, before I launched my podcast, and I'm like, I'm going to launch a podcast by January 1st of, I think it was 2017 or 2016. I'm like, I'm going to launch a podcast 2016. And next thing you know, on January 1st, I'm like, I have to get it out, which meant that the weeks before I had to figure out with the microphone, I had to figure out like all of the different steps. And, you know, I've announced a while ago that I was going to be offering Invisalign in my practice, right? And that meant that I had to take the course, I had to invest in the technology, like I had to do all of that stuff because I made that announcement. I didn't know how to use an iTero scanner. I didn't know how to submit a case, but I said I was going to do something. And so I knew that that would be like, that's all I needed to do. And then I would figure it out. And so a lot of times, you know, a lot of times people do get stuck, and a lot of it has to do with behavioral styles, right? So if you're going through DISC and you're a C, a high C, you know, you're going to analyze a lot of things, which is just part of who you are. But I encourage even those Cs to don't let that prevent them from achieving success. So, you know, at some point you just have to make a decision and you have to go for it. You know what I mean? But I think that's a lot of it. A lot of it as well. For me, I don't know. I said when I launched my Facebook course, same thing. I was like, there's a Facebook course that's coming out to the dental industry on June 1st, 2016. I didn't know how to record anything. I didn't know how to edit any videos. I didn't know where I was going to store them. I didn't know anything, right? I knew about the content, but I didn't know about the process of how to get it out there. But guess what? On that date, it was released, it was launched, and I figured it out. And so whether it's your dental practice or anything that you're doing in life, if you have a vision and you say you want to do something, you can definitely do it. Yeah, don't get yourself stuck in all of those little details because you can figure it out.
Yeah, and if you can't, find someone who can, like you said earlier.
Exactly.
Yep, Upwork's a great place. I wanted to just also talk to you a little bit about, we spoke about trends in dentistry at the beginning a little bit. We touched on the fact that you're introducing 3D printing into your practice. And so I wanted to just get your views on some of the things that you see happening in dentistry. And I mentioned earlier in our conversation that you and I have both been dentists now for some time, but you clearly things have changed and clearly things are continuing to change at a quite a rapid rate. And for some people, that brings a sense of apprehension, a sense of uncertainty. But I also think that with that brings incredible opportunity. And so I wanted to ask you where you see the opportunities for the next 5 years or so, not just clinically, but just more generally as well. Because I know that here in Australia, there's a degree of corporatization, as there is in the United States. There's a degree of insurance companies being involved in care more than they've ever been before. But in spite of some of those challenges, I see that there's some great opportunities. And I just wondered what you were thinking about the opportunities in the industry and profession at large.
You know what? It's very interesting because what I see a lot of is I see dentists who are doing the same thing as everyone else, right? They're offering fillings and they're offering dentures and they're offering extractions and some root canals, and they're just doing the same old thing like everyone else. And so when you have a situation where, you know, a corporate opens across the street and they're offering the same thing that you're offering, but guess what? It's a little bit less expensive because of their overhead costs, et cetera. What happens is that people go to that person. You know, one thing that I focused a lot on this year, again, continuing to try to just get to that next level, is how can we be the authority in our community? For me, it's in my country, on services that no one's really talking about and services that are perhaps not offered by every single dentist in your community. And so I think there's a lot of opportunity for people who are willing to invest in learning new skills and services, such as placement of implants, if that's something that you're interested in. Learning how to treat patients with sleep apnea is huge. And I know in the US, at least, you can bill some of these things to medical insurance. Doing things like the ortho in your practice. You know, a lot of times people don't do these services because you just don't feel confident, right? You haven't done it in school. And so you're not taking that extra time, or perhaps you have not invested in making sure that your team can actually communicate. You don't have systems in place to get patients to say yes, which a lot of it has to do with having ways for the dentistry to fit into their budget. But I think that when you start to really become that authority, and I can tell you in our marketing this year, we are doing a lot of changes. We're actually looking at putting in doing Google ads and things that we have not done before, because we want to be known and dominate the market for things like dental implants and Invisalign. And those are the things that we are really, in my mind, it's community domination. That is our focus right now with our marketing. So we're investing a ton into making sure that people understand that we are that place in the community and that this treatment is available and it's located. They're able to get it done right here in their community. So even with the marketing, you know, did you know that implant dentistry is available and one of the best cosmetic dentists or one of the best implant dentists is right here in whatever city? It's building that authority of how you write your ads in your marketing as well, taking people through things like funnels and having people to fill out quizzes so that they can pre-qualify themselves, I think is really, really huge. And that could be done by Facebook ads or Google ads, but really opening your mind, again, going back to the very beginning, what is your story? What do you want to be known for? Right now, before it was like the patient experience, right? Delivering well. Well, we've accomplished that. That's a given. Right now, it's domination in our market for these high-end services, because we know that when they come in for these services, number one, insurance does not cover them. So it doesn't really matter if we take their insurance or not. It doesn't really matter. And so we're not competing with other practices for that. But we know that when they come in for these high-end services while they're there, and if they do have insurance, we can say, hey, you have insurance, you're already here. We can just go ahead and do the cleaning here so you don't have to come back for that, or so we can go ahead and get an assessment and see what else needs to be done, right? So I think a lot of it has to do with how do we get to that next level is looking at how, again, our brand, what do we want to be known for? And it might mean that you need to spend some money taking some CE courses. And I mean, for me, even my associates right now, one has just gotten back from Spear. One was in Dominican, the same girl was in Dominican Republic just a few weeks ago with Dr. Garg. We are doing training up in Seattle with 3D BioCAD, and we're going to be doing a digital course, all of our doctors. So we're investing a lot in high end. We're going to be doing treatment sleep app courses with Dr. Dasani in Houston. So we're investing in ourselves, and we're making sure that the entire community, and in my case, my country, knows that we are doing that and why we're doing that and why our practice is different. And I think that to me is going to be the key for keeping up and growing and scaling in the next several years.
Yeah. Look, again, I really resonate with that, because it's about being able to position yourself in a way that, so you're not competing on price with the corporate across the road, and you're carving out that space in the market that you really want to be known for. And as you say, building authority is, I think, a fundamental skill that every dentist really needs to start thinking about. Because for me, the biggest marketing mistake that I see is what I call me-tooism. And everyone's being, I'm just like that guy, but either different or better or cheaper. And for me, I think that's perhaps one of the saddest things to see, because all of these great dentists have wonderful skills. And if they take the time to hone them and market them and become an authority in that space, then their life becomes, you know, infinitely easier and more pleasurable, because they're doing the work that they really get a great deal of pleasure from. They're really making a difference to people's lives. And yeah, at the end of all of that, when you help enough people, the profitability takes care of itself, which is great. Anissa, you've been really generous with your time today. And firstly, thank you from all of us here at the Savvy Dentist Podcast and all our listeners. I really want to take a moment to thank you. Your book, Delivering Wow, if people wanted to get a copy of that, would that be on your website?
So they can actually just go right there to Amazon to purchase that book. And it's Delivering Wow, How Dentists Can Build a Fascinating Brand and Achieve More While Working Less. It's available on Kindle as well. We actually, it's pretty interesting, pretty amazing. We've actually just gotten picked up by Morgan James, which is a very exclusive publisher out of New York. So we actually will be in bookstores in just a few months as well. And that's pretty exciting. We're actually going to be relaunching the book, and there's going to be some bonus sections that relate specifically to digital marketing, Facebook marketing, email marketing, funnel marketing. So that's going to be pretty exciting with that new release.
Fantastic. Looking forward to hearing how that goes, and hopefully we'll see that on the shelves here in Australia as well. But for anyone who does want to get a copy of it ahead of time, head across to Amazon and grab yourself a copy. It's a great read. I really commend it to you. One last question, and if I may impose upon you just for one last moment, and that is, if there's a person listening to this podcast today and they're saying, you know what, I'm at the beginning of my journey, I've heard everything that Anissa said, but I really just want to get some clarity about steps 1, 2, and 3. If we were to put that on a billboard, and this is 3 tips to starting right, where would you suggest that person start? Is it with vision to start with? What would be that process for them?
Right. Absolutely. So the first thing is definitely vision. So where do you want to go? The next thing is really looking at making sure that you have your culture, you have your teams, putting your team in place. And then from there, it's really just making sure that you understand systems for profitability, communication. And then from there, just really building out that brand and making sure that everybody knows exactly who you are. So that's really the roadmap for me that I've seen work really, really well for dentists. And it's definitely a process. You know, you're not going to have a million raving fans at the very beginning. But guess what? You have to start somewhere, and you have to have that as your end goal, so that all of your actions will allow you to be able to achieve it.
Anissa, thank you so much. That is such sage advice. So for everyone listening, I'd really encourage you to have taken some notes. And when you've got those notes ready to go, be sure to take action on them, because As always, nothing changes if nothing changes. And Anissa's shared some absolute gems, some pearls of wisdom that I'd really encourage you to take into your own practice so that you too can deliver wow on a daily basis. Anissa, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate you coming onto our program. I hope that I can come across to Jamaica and share a game of cricket with you, which is my biggest passion in life. And I know that you are in the West Indies there amongst some of the greatest cricketers in the world. So I hope I can come across and say hello to you at some point.
Absolutely. That would be amazing.
Thanks, Anissa.
I really hope you enjoyed that episode with Dr. Anissa Holmes. As you could tell, she was just so full of energy, so much wisdom to share. And as I said in the intro, I really hope you took some notes so that you can apply that information for maximum effect and maximum benefit, because candidly, nothing changes if nothing changes. Equally, if you'd like to take advantage of some great resources, head across to our website, drjessegreen.com, download the High Performance Practice Report there, grab that, take action on it, and put that into place as well. And so if you've got any queries, any questions, please reach out, let us know. We're only an email away and always happy to help. So take good care. And until next week, see you on the flip side. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.